Welcome to the Persephone program with myself, Michelle Prentice, and my dear friend, amazing wise woman, energy healer, Brooke Albrego. Hi, Brooke. Happy New Year.
Hi, Michelle. Happy New Year.
Yay. We finally did it.
This was hard to get our shit together.
Yeah, I'm, it's interesting. Like it was Mercury retrograde, and we were talking throughout the entire retrograde. Okay, we're gonna record. Ooh, not feeling it. So it's perfect. And
You'd think we'd know better.
exactly. Why? Right? I mean, what is all this information for, if not, to plan better? But yeah, so today is very much kind of full steam ahead with Mars at 0 degrees Capricorn. And I think Moon is in Scorpio, is it? I can't remember. Let me take a quick
I'm
look.
gonna pull it up right now.
And we have yeah, it's at four to, right now it's Moon in Scorpio, which is great for digging
Yeah.
down deep.
Mercury and Sag.
Yeah, Mars is out of balance. So it's like I feel the energy. How do you feel?
I feel better today than I did for me, it's always kind of a weird time of year between like the Yule and the quote unquote New Year, if you believe that this is like an actual new year. I don't really
Yeah.
feel that way, but
Calendar only.
yeah, calendar, Gregorian calendar, new year. I get really lost in the in between. Like to me, especially right now, I felt like I couldn't keep track of what day it was. I kept getting appointments mixed up because I thought it was Friday when it was really Wednesday. It was like a very confusing time for me, but I just surrender to it. But today I really feel a lot more grounded and like, okay, this is what's up, what's down, you know?
Yeah, it is a liminal space. I agree. I think that it
Totally.
is very liminal. I think it's very sort of, it feels very gestational, an interior at this time in the Northern Hemisphere. I agree. And having that Mercury retrograde, it very much felt that way. And Jupiter was retrograde for most of it. And then after, the second or third, Mercury's now coming out of its shadow and Mars is direct and in Capricorn, I'm sorry. And so that feels, it feels better,
It
but it's
does.
still winter.
Yeah. I think I really got knocked off center ever since that full moon in Cancer. What was that, the 26th, the day after Christmas, if you celebrate Christmas? I feel like that's when the liminal space really expanded. And yeah, it does feel better. And I knew January was going to be a big month, like as far as just feeling there's a lot of shifts happening, which I already
Yeah.
know that you know. And I
There's a
feel
lot of
I'm starting
shifts.
to tap into that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really where today we're going to talk about the energy of 2024. And Brooke's been doing a lot of year ahead readings. I've been doing a lot of year ahead readings. And I thought it would be cool if we combined, like our experiences and had a conversation about 2024's energy. I'll tell you about the astrology, and of course I did pull cards. I read cards as well and runes and stuff. And Brooke's gonna tell you like her vibes too, and that we love to combine our two like vibes and energies and experiences because it just seems so much more complete,
Yeah, it's fun. It's always fun to co-create and collaborate with
Yes.
you.
Okay, just you said co-create.
Yeah.
The very first thing that I did, so if I pulled, I pulled a kind of like a Celtic cross reading and I pulled some runes. And then earlier I pulled another card. I said, what is it that I really need to impart through all of this like data heavy driven astrology, which I'm going to tell all you guys about the big themes of 2024. And I pulled the sun card.
Oh, I love
I
that.
know. And that's about co-creating, that's about creative energy. And that ties in, I think, to the card that you just told me was the most pulled card in your readings.
Yeah. Do you know what your personal tarot card is for this year? I feel like your card is the sun this year. Like, have you ever done that? So you add up your birthday with the
Oh, yeah.
birth month and then the year, and then you like, add up those numbers individually, and then that correlates with
Well, I know that
confidence.
my personal year is a three.
Oh, okay.
I'm natally an eight from my, like, if you from a numerological standpoint, if you add
Yeah.
up your entire, your birthday and year, I'm an eight, destiny number. But my birth date, month and date added into to eight is a three.
Okay.
So that's the Empress, isn't
Is it? Oh, a funny,
it?
that's a theme.
It is.
Okay. Yeah, this is my justice year, which is
Ooh.
very Libra. Yeah, the
So
Libra
Libra,
card.
I love that with, because that's another theme that I want to talk about astrologically, because of course the nodes are in Libra and Aries this year.
Yeah, and it's the
And
South Node, so karma,
yeah,
justice.
for sure.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, like bringing things into sort of alignment through rightness, through balance, through justice in general. I think that's going to be a big theme. But so tell me a little bit about, like, what you're seeing with your readings and what your guides are
Yeah.
telling you and all of that.
So, my year ahead readings, I kind of do a little mixture of a bunch of different modalities. So I do a little bit of astrology where it's a little more intuitive, where because as you know, you could do it the entire session, just astrology. So I kind of look at their chart and kind of let my intuition tell me to kind of pick one or two major things happening for people in 2024. And what I noticed astrologically before I get into the energy work is that a lot of people are closing some of their big outer planet transits this year. You know, those ones that are like 3 year long, those like heavier outer planet transits. A lot of people are coming out of those in 2024. So I feel like there's some kind of a like rebirth, awakening kind of thing happening, which correlates with some of the energetic stuff that I'm getting to. You know, when I do also the reading, I do a 12 card year ahead spread where I pull cards for each month and then kind of let them speak to me. And I use a tarot deck, and I also use an oracle deck. So the biggest card I'm seeing coming up for people for 2024 is the Empress. So funny
Love
enough.
that.
Yeah. And I think that that is the energy that we really need right now, right? We need that nurturing, feminine, earth-based, symbiotic, you know, like energy right now. Everything's so, I don't know if I want to say masculine, but you know, we really have to find new ways to solve our issues that aren't violence and, you know, going to war or trying to control people or oppress people. That definitely is not in alignment with, you know, a divine feminine, right? Which we all have. It's not contingent to your gender. Everybody has feminine energy within them. So that's, to me, that's what the Empress always represents, right? It's like that mothering, nurturing, abundant, earth-based. Like if you take care of the earth, it takes care of you back, you know, and that I think is what we need.
Yeah, it's like more creation, less destruction. The Empress is about creating, right? It's like
Yeah.
she's always pregnant with herself,
Yeah,
and
fertile.
fertile. That three card is very much about, like, what comes out of the duality, right? So, like, a new dawn, even like a new epoch, which is what I really feel astrologically, like this for sure. And it's funny that you mentioned, like, old cycles. Like, cycles are coming to an end and new cycles are beginning. That is 100% 2024. The fact that, one of the biggest themes that we have here is, and I'll say that this is true for the month of January, because this is like one of the first, this is the introduction to the year, I think, which is that Sun and Pluto are meeting at 0 degrees Aquarius on January 20th, 21st, depending on where you live. And that's like introducing, again, the themes that we're going to be working with for the next 20 years, which are very Aquarian themes. And that's like inclusivity. I for sure feel that within the context of Aquarius, because it's the very last air sign, is inclusivity. It's like balancing of polarity, even though as an air sign, it's considered to be yang or like extra outwardly assertive. In order for it to be the inclusive group oriented sign for that it is, it has to include the polarities. It has to include the divine feminine. So, you know, it's about like individual rights, but also balancing that male female.
Yeah. And don't forget too, the image of Aquarius, it, even though it's the air sign, it's the water bearer.
Yeah.
You know, so there is that like compassion there and that like empathy and
100%. And that
yeah.
ties in also with like, okay, so we've got, you know, Pluto moving into Aquarius for the next 20 years. And I want to say that this Sun Pluto conjunction, January 20th, is the first time that the Sun and Pluto have conjoined in 250 years.
Wow.
Right. And that ties into like the great, you know, mutation of 2020, where on the winter solstice, remember that Jupiter Saturn conjunction in Aquarius at 0 degrees. So we're having our first Jupiter Saturn square. Like if you think of like every cycle as also kind of like the moon having like a newness, like the beginning and then like a fullness, there's a square, there's an opposition, that kind of thing. This is our first square. So something that was like promised from that is happening this year. That also like really ties into some of the themes that you're seeing and feeling.
I mean, that segues into the second card, which is from my Runners of the Sun Oracle deck, and it's the community card.
Oh my God. This is like, it just layers. It's all connected, man. Yeah, no, the theme is strong.
Community. Yeah.
Community.
Big time community. And then some of the other ones, strength, which I thought was ironic because technically 2024 is the strength year of the major arcana in tarot. Some of the other themes, let's see, the past, so reflecting on the past, rest was a big one, and a card called unease, which I actually feel like really connects to something that came up for me that we can talk about a little bit later in a meditation, where, you know, I think there's going to be a lot happening in 2024 as far as these big endings and beginnings, but I think there's going to be a lot of discomfort, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, I think it's like, we have to kind of get pushed out of our comfort zones in order to make the changes we need to make. And that we need to kind of make friends with the unfamiliar or the uncomfortable a little bit this year. And I think it's temporary, but it is a theme that was popping up where it's like, you know, it might get a little uncomfy, but honestly, who's been comfortable in the last 4 years? Like, I can't remember the last time I was comfortable, to be honest with you.
No kidding. No kidding.
So,
love all that. I think that the North Node, you know, so, you know, the year's big themes astrologically are like so tying into, you know, what you're reading energy wise, you know, from the archetypal, you know, energies of the cards. It's about progress. It's about being, you know, bold. It's about create, you know, really understanding that, you know, hashtag we're all in this together. Like community is where we're moving towards inclusivity through. We really are moving into this sort of age of Aquarius. You know, there's an astrological sort of epoch of air and commute, you know, and the idea of thoughts and information traveling very, very quickly. And we're going to see that like, and through all that, we also have to remember that we're human beings living on this earth and we have to ground and protect and be, you know, inclusive, but we also have to be understanding, we have to be brave. And that's that North Node in Aries, you know, that counterpoint to like to Libra, which is about, you know, harmony and justice and, you know, understanding that like we do need to look at the past and need to see where there is injustice and we need to be brave enough to be uncomfortable enough to, you know, fight for what we believe in.
Yeah. And make new decisions based on the past, you know,
for sure.
New cycles. Those were some of the bigger cards that were coming up and sounds like it correlates with what's coming up with you too. I had a really interesting, meditation before this. And, you know, I felt a lot of pressure before this podcast where I was like, oh, I need to have like very specific information about what's coming in 2024. And so when I sat down to meditate, I jotted down a couple notes. And I think something I'm really interested in, for 2024 is the the Uranus Jupiter conjunction, right? So I was like, okay, let's focus on this in the meditation. And I kind of jotted down a couple things, and I wrote down, like, you know, volcanic activity, earthquakes, question mark. And I was like, I'm going to meditate on this. So I sit down, I get into my meditation, and I'm brought to this like big, like pyramid temple thing. And in front of it is, and I'm not like super well versed in all the Egyptian deities, so maybe you know. And it was the crocodile head one. Do you know which one that is?
Oh man. Oh.
I don't see that one ever. I think this might be the first or second time I've ever seen it. And so I kind of was like in the meditation, like, what, you know, what energy is coming in for 2024 around this conjunction? And I just felt this like very kind of powerful energy come from it. And then we literally had an earthquake here.
I saw that.
That happened during my meditation when I was meditating on Uranus Jupiter conjunction in Taurus. So it kind of made me laugh because it jolted me out of the meditation and kind of scared me because my dogs were barking. And then I laughed because the message was so clear at that point, where, like, you know, the nature of Uranus is unpredictable. So trying to predict or like tap into what exactly that's going to be isn't really the point, right? It's like better to approach this year in general, or that time of year, which I think it's like April, right?
I'll go over that in just a second. Yeah.
Oh, we can talk about that in a little bit if you want. But anyways,
it's April. Yeah. April 20th is the Jupiter Uranus conjunction. And it's very like, it is unpredictable, but it's also revolutionary.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's always associated with time periods of upheaval, but also of new beginnings and
creation. It shakes shit up.
Creation, especially.
Yeah.
Okay. Tying into the Empress. Yeah. Tying, you know.
Yeah. And it also made me think, you know, earthquakes are also creative, right? They create like landscapes and canyons and
absolutely. I mean, and so do volcanic eruptions. Certainly exactly. Pele, the goddess of, you know, the great goddess of Hawaii is, you know, both a creator and a destroyer.
Yeah.
Like Kali, yeah.
So I'm interested if any listeners are well versed in Egyptian deities.
I got it. It's the name of the god is Sobek.
Okay.
Sobek was associated. It was the god of the Nile, and associated with the myth of Osiris. And when Osiris was murdered, Sobek, being a crocodile, apparently like ate his tongue, and was. But what's so interesting is that this god was invoked for protection.
Okay.
Right? Against, so he was very much invoked for protection in Egypt. And what's super interesting is just that you had that, because I've been getting a whole bunch of stuff about Sekhmet. Mm-hmm. Sekhmet, the goddess Sekhmet, has been, which is also a kind of similar to Sobek, like she's a very powerful goddess, like kind of like Kali and stuff, that you don't mess around with. She's the
everybody I know who works with Sekhmet is like a badass.
Yeah, it's very intense. It's intense, mm-hmm. like warrior energy, you know,
right?
So that's super. It's always interesting to me, like, what deities come from the collective and then rise up and appear.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, many folks in the spiritual community are talking about certain deities, and a lot of them are like, you know, like deities like the Morrigan in the Celtic, you know, pantheon, associated with war or some forms of empowerment. Certainly Hecate has been, you know, very huge in the collective for the last 5 years or 4 years.
It's interesting. I don't usually seek deities out. Like they'll find me. Yeah, they'll find me, and then I have to figure out who they are and get to know them. But
yes,
it's like random, the ones that come through. But that the crocodile head one was so cool. Like, I haven't seen that. I've seen that on one other person in a session for them, but it's never showed up for me. So that was pretty cool.
Wow, it's definitely, we'll have to look, you know, dig in. Like you said, maybe somebody can tell us, you know, but we can do some research around it. Yeah. But I love that. Well, okay. So Let's kind of like go through the first quarters, if you don't mind, like of the year, and let's talk about like energy wise. Maybe you've got some thoughts on like, January, February, March, which is really a kind of a liminal intro to the year. We both kind of agree that, for us energetically and certainly astrologically, the year begins at the spring equinox, which is just days before our first eclipse, But I'll kind of tell you like what I see a little bit for the first, 90 days of, of the year. And then maybe you've got some comments, and then we can kind of go through. And then I definitely want to spend some time talking about the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, because for
Yes,
me,
I'm excited about
me too.
it.
That is just, yeah, it's very exciting. And I think, like my guides and everything are telling me, like, look, focus on the sun, focus on the creative, co-creative, powerful, and sort of positive aspect of 2024. So, okay. I can't wait to do that. So, like for me, January is like getting out of the sort of slump that we've had, and like I mentioned today, we've got Mars out of ba Mars is really strong right now. It's exalted in Capricorn, and it's really kind of like January is quite, I would say like it's quite positive. We've got a very nice new moon coming up on the 11th. We've got some good aspects to Uranus and Neptune. We've got a sextile to Neptune, which is kind of cool. And then we've got that sun entering Aquarius, which is really like the, I feel like it's, we got sun in Aquarius, conjoined with Pluto. And I think that last year when we saw, Pluto move to Aquarius, which was in March of 2023, I was really for sure, like very much about like that chat GPT coming up. Of course, we've got lots of themes. Aquarius is still ruled by Saturn as well as Uranus, but we've got a lot of themes of still of oppression, by kind of like, fascism and the strong man rising up. But I do feel like their last gaspy. So there may be some of that. Certainly there was like the, we were going on and on with, issues of conflict. But I do think that there may be some resolution in 2024. So we've got a full moon in Leo at the end of January, which is kind of nice. I feel like that's going to be fairly positive. I definitely think that in February, so we've got this, Pluto Sun conjunction in January, and there may be something that comes up at the end of this month that is very like forward from a technology standpoint, from a communication standpoint, certainly around AI, certainly around just like massive amounts of communication coming out. I mean, Pluto and Aquarius is so huge. We're gonna like go through so many strides. We definitely need, all of the energy healers to give us as much meditation and grounding and help, all of us, because I think everyone's nervous systems are like insanely, tapped, right? The nervous systems are going to continue to be an issue for us with all of this air happening. February 19th, North Node, which is in Aries, is going to conjunct Chiron. And I think that in February, we're going to really see like some of the ways that, like you were talking earlier about war and stuff like that, like how we are hurting, specifically the sort of eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth that we're like really seeing with the Israel-Hamas war, like that like does nothing, right? What have you heard of the there's some kind of proverb like an eye for an eye
Makes the whole world blind.
makes the whole world blind. That's it. Like it's very obvious. We
There's
can see
something
it.
about this, I mean, that way of thinking and moving through the world in this situation in particular that just feels archaic. Like there's
Yeah.
something about, like it just feels so, that is not the way we're supposed to be doing things anymore. It feels pointless. It's,
It
like,
is.
I'm ready for a new way of like dealing with our issues and differences. So,
Definitely. It's so pointless, and it's going to become very obvious in the first quarter again of this year. And probably some of it will be through further conflict and through, us watching other people suffer, which is like very much Saturn in Pisces. Right now, the social planets, Jupiter's in Taurus and will conjoin Uranus in April, at the end of April. But we have with Saturn in Pisces, I think that we're putting some kind of container on, or organization or structure on not just the boundless, but on like our compassion. It's almost kind of like putting our money where our mouth is when it comes to doing something about suffering, globally.
Well, it feels like too. I mean, I think this started in October, and I feel like this is going to carry us through, like you're talking about, like January into February, and that first like section of the new year where it's like the veil has been lifted, and the things we're seeing, these aren't new things. Like they've been going on for a really, really long time.
Maybe forever.
And we're just like a lot of people are just now like seeing it for what it is.
Because it's in our face so much,
Yeah, because
when
that Aquarian like technology, we can see everything happening in real time, through the internet, through streaming.
everybody's got a smartphone, pretty much. Everyone is plugged in. For better or for worse, this is our future. And it may mean eventually that we're going to be able to very quickly make decisions that can, put ourselves collectively in a better place. But for now, we're dealing with all the growing pains of like really kind of like, it's almost kind of like we're from the past and suddenly we're in the future and we have to like figure out how to adjust.
How to bridge it. And it's interesting too, because I think about, I'm like, wow, if we didn't have all this, this would all still be happening. We just wouldn't
Know about it?
know about it. And
Yeah.
that is like the most infuriating part to me, and
Yeah.
also just like a sign of the times that we're heading into, of like we didn't know now, but now that we do, we have to do something about it.
Right. It's in our face. It's so in our face. And it's going to really be in our face this year. And I think that we're all going to have to be brave enough to do something about it. Yeah.
And get uncomfortable.
Get uncomfortable. Well, we already are uncomfortable, but actually like channel that discomfort into action. It's a very action-oriented year, I think. Creative too, with that Empress, and the Sun. It's like, look, I feel like we're going to win. I feel like progress is going to be the winner. So, any more thoughts on the first 90 days?
I just think it's going to be like intuitively, I feel like we're going to just be confronting a lot of the ways that we get hand power over, to authority or to maybe people we think we need permission to be ourselves or to be a certain way in our lives. I think we're going to be seeing a lot of masks come off, and becoming more like authentic, and unapologetic with who you are, what you stand for. And I also think it'll be a time where of people like really setting some good boundaries. Feels like a strong boundary time to me.
Yeah, well, I love that Saturn on Pi in Pisces. I think people are going to start to like just a little bit wake up from some of the fog, especially
Totally.
because well, I'll go through all the astrology for the geeks that want to write stuff down later. But so let's talk about January, February, March. Let's talk about April, May, June. Because okay, first I want to say like the big thing. Jupiter and Uranus conjoining in Taurus. And a Jupiter Uranus conjunction can happen every 14 years, but it hasn't happened in Uranus in our lifetime. Okay. So no one alive, well, maybe if you're really like 100 years old or something. I think it was the 1930s. So 90s, if you're in your night, late 90s, you'd experience it. But Jupiter and Uranus conjunctions always are the birth of something new, and it being in Taurus and being in a Venus ruled sign, and also our South Node being in a Venus ruled sign, it's definitely about progress and newness for things like, you know, for themes of women, and which people are saying, what, you know, but I definitely see that this is a new 14-year cycle of like, we're, you know, women's issues, LGBTQ issues.
For women just being in power or have seats at the table. Like, I'm just
Yeah,
sick of
seats
all
at
these
the
like old men controlling everything.
Yeah, we're gonna see more and more of that, you know. I think that shocking events, like you said, with Uranus, like there's like for sure, because it, you know, Uranus and Taurus earthquakes, you know, volcanic eruptions are definitely a theme. But also the arts, you know, Jupiter and Uranus are associated with like new genres of music. I did a podcast on the astrology of punk rock music, and we were tying in different cycles of Jupiter and Uranus and like brand new music coming up, you know, and music also being a theme to like unite everyone. It's funny because I was like reading earlier today about like there's this new form of punk, a new subgenre called egg punk. I
You're
know.
way more
Why
in the loop than
do
I am.
people do this? But it's like there's some new bands. One of them's called Swoon, I believe, and they're taking like protest songs, you know, like the ethos of like punk rock, which is like, you know, when I in the 80s, you know, when I was like a punk rocker, it was like anti-nukes, anti-Reagan, you know, like really just like fighting revolutionary energy. And bringing, there was a Jupiter Uranus conjunction, I think it was 82, and that was like the rise of hip hop too, you know. But it's like new, exciting. So this band, this genre is like taking like protest songs and talking about culture, but making it like a little bit prettier. Like they're using like more like synth music and like electronic music, so it's not as like raw and discordant as like hardcore and
Is it like a
thrash.
young Gen Z band?
Oh yeah.
Why
Course.
I've never heard of
It's
it.
new. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we're too old now.
That's
No.
cool. That's cool though.
But I
They're
love
carrying
it.
the torch.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, you know, Uranus is like very much about rebellion and revolutionary energy. And, you know, we're adding that to Jupiter, and we're, you know, we're believing in the revolution this year.
I always associate Jupiter with like being a road opener, you know, where like
Yes.
where you've been hitting a wall, or unable to overcome some kind of block or like hurdle. I always see Jupiter as like helping you find, you know, opening the road or like unlocking a door for you.
Jupiter's like a big blowhard, you know. It's like I see him like as like this big, like, you know, just to push you, like, yeah, like a road opener candle, you know. It's like an energy that can just push you know. So that's very positive. And this is like a new 14-year cycle, so it's really quite exciting.
To me, it feels like a big breakthrough, like some kind of breakthrough that
100%. Well,
jolts
that, yeah,
people
combined with that
awake.
Aquarian energy, for sure,
Yeah, it's going to be
breakthrough,
jolting, it's going to be electric.
renaissance.
It's going to be a turning point. And I like to think because Jupiter's involved, it'll bring more hope and more optimism to like where we're headed. But it made me think about like the message that I got on my meditation about the unpredictability. And it's like, if you can think back at times in your life where you had like the biggest breakthroughs, they had to happen that way. They had to be very abrupt. They had to catch you off guard because had you seen it coming, would you have that awakening? Would you have that aha moment or epiphany if you could see it coming? It has to kind of like sneak up on you in order for it to have that surprise effect of creating the breakthrough, right? Like flipping a light switch.
Isn't that funny that it's true? Because like, you know, I'm a double Capricorn, and I love to play on everything, and I like to like be aware,
You don't like to be
you know. But
surprised.
I think that if you're too aware, it's like that watched pot, you know, the watched pot never boils. You're like, okay, it's April 20th, and it's a Jupiter Uranus conjunction. Where's my breakthrough? You know, remember, this is like the beginning of something. So maybe you want to sort of invite the energy in and then see what comes, because this is, remember, this is like a threshold. So it's like you're walking across a threshold. This is a 21 degrees Taurus. So for folks that are in the fixed signs, you know, of Taurus and Leo and Scorpio and Aquarius, you know, you're really going to hit, especially if you know your astrology and you have, you know, any of the angles of your chart, you know, your first, fourth, you know, seventh and 10th houses in the later degrees of the fixed signs, or you have planets in, you know, anywhere from, I mean, you could say like anywhere from like 15 degrees to, you know, 29 degrees of those signs, you're really going to feel this. But we all have it. So wherever you, you know, in your astrology have Taurus, you know, and you're really going to, you know, by house, you know, you're really going to like have a breakthrough. So invite it in.
Be open.
Be open to, and allow yourself to be surprised too.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
It is. It's a turning point. It feels like a turning point.
There's so much breakthrough, especially because it's like that 0 degrees of Aquarius, that the Jupiter Uranus conjunction. This is like a breakthrough year.
We're in uncharted territory.
Uncharted. And so like there's action. This is not like last year where there was kind of like this, I don't know. Last year was weird.
It was a lull.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't horrible.
No.
But this year is just, I really feel it. So
yeah.
Let's say, so April's a big deal because we have our first, well, it's happens right after the spring equinox. We have our first lunar eclipse, you know, which is partial, and it's at 5 degrees Libra. So it's a full moon, a lunar eclipse, 5 degrees Libra. You know, so definitely if you've got early degrees of Libra, you know, there's a release. So I feel like there's that spring equinox, this kind of feeling of like, okay, let's let go. Let go of the past, because I think I also feel very strongly that in order to really move forward and to have this revolution and this renaissance, we need to let go of everything that isn't working for us. We need to stop, you know. So there's that. And then we have the Great American Solar Eclipse, which is happening April 8th. It's a total solar eclipse, and it's visible through a wide portion of the United States, a swathe, you know, that includes Texas. And I think that typically when we have a solar eclipse, especially when it's visible, it's more, it kind of shows up in the, you know, really shows up in the collective. So if you have planets close to 19 or 20 degrees of the cardinal signs, Aries, Libra, Capricorn, or Cancer, this is where, I mean, the nodes of the moon and the eclipses are going to show up in your life. So I know you do. I know I do.
Yeah.
This lunar eclipse is going to be close to my IC, the very bottom of my chart. I know this lunar eclipse at 20 degrees of Libra is going to be close to your sun and different planets in your astrology.
Yeah, I think my Mercury too.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's also, I feel like a solar eclipse is like a reset button. So there's like this, again, that feeling of progress and newness from like, okay, press the button, ending, new beginning very quickly. We're going to reboot. I feel like this is going to be huge for the United States. I think specifically the United States is going to be very galvanized by this. And it's the first solar eclipse visible in the United States, like fully visible since 2017, since the Great American Solar Eclipse. Remember the one in the summer of 2017 that Trump had just become president, and he was like, he literally like visibly looked at the solar eclipse and everybody was saying like, he's so stupid.
I like try to black out those years in my mind. I don't like to revisit it.
Trump was president? I'm like, oh my God.
I just act delulu about the whole thing.
So, you know, April's going to be really huge. So we got eclipses, fresh starts, letting go, resets, revolution, the revolutionary Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, April. Super exciting. I mean, I love it. April also, we're going to have our first Mercury retrograde, which is also going to be in Aries. It's April 1st through the 25th. So during the eclipses and the Jupiter Uranus conjunction, we'll have a Mercury retrograde from 27 to 15 degrees of Aries. So that Mercury retrograde will be opposing a lot of your planets.
Fun.
Well, I mean, it's not that big of a deal, I don't
I
think.
Mercury retrogrades are not that big of a deal. I was just being a baby about it. And is this the last round of the eclipses in Libra and Aries, or do we get one more?
No, we get one more. So the
Okay.
eclipses this year are like 325 and 48, and then 917 is our first Pisces. So
Okay.
that'll be a lunar eclipse at 25 degrees of Pisces. But the actual nodes don't fully move to Pisces
Virgo.
and Virgo until January of 2025.
Okay, so we still got a ways.
Yeah. And then October 2nd, we've got a new moon solar eclipse at 10 degrees of Libra,
Okay.
which is nice. It's not bad. And from an astrological standpoint, for the second quarter, April, which is like really like all the action is happening in April. In May, we have a really nice Jupiter aspect to Neptune. So there's something kind of like almost like a month after the Jupiter Uranus conjunction, Jupiter sextiles Neptune. It's like that's kind of magical. I don't know. I think that there may be some kind of, beautiful reconciliation of some form.
Yeah, it feels alchemical, right? Like a almost like the temperance card. That's like what I think of.
Yeah. And Jupiter is moving to Gemini. So, and that's a 7 degrees kind of 7 degree early Gemini transit. So Jupiter moves to Gemini in, let me just see, the 26th of May. So just right at that, hang on just a second. 26th of May. I'm sorry. No, it's the 23rd, 24th. Nope. God, I'm so sorry. I'm like looking at an ephemeris. You guys can't see it. The 26th in Gemini.
Okay.
And then let me just see. The sextile to Neptune, because it's so close. It's definitely in a very nice position in May. And then we have it moving. We also have Jupiter trining Pluto in June. So those are both very, very supportive.
Okay. I was curious about June because everyone was getting kind of spicy cards in June, so that's good to hear.
Yeah, and so the sextile is Jupiter is like 29 degrees of Taurus and sextiling Neptune at 29 degrees of Pisces.
Ooh, so
And
anaretic.
yeah, and the fact is that Neptune being at 29 is really close to that like 0 degrees, and it's going
Yeah.
to be in 25, 26, we're going to have a really exciting, like they consider, 0 degrees, especially 0 degrees Aries, as being the very beginning of the zodiac, as being like a
Yeah.
world point, and important things happen in the world,
Wow.
at that 0 degrees Aries.
Yeah, it's a critical degree.
Yeah. Feelings for that second quarter, like, have you got cards for that?
I kind of see the big event being May, and then I'm sorry, April, and then May and June kind of just being the aftermath. Like
Yeah.
integrating that, finding some balance, picking up the pieces, whatever happens in April, I think we'll be integrating it after that. But I did get a little bit of like spicy energy in June I was talking about, but it could actually just be the solstice. I feel like the solstice kind of kicks up some weird energy. We're just things don't really aren't really what they seem, or it's just to kind of be how like use your discernment that month.
I mean, June doesn't like other than the solstice, June is fairly sleepy,
Okay.
I'm just sort of like looking through, we'll have There's like not that much going on. Like, you know, Jupiter, Pluto trine, Saturn isn't retrograde until the end of June at 19 degrees Pisces.
Maybe it's the
As
shadow.
always, yeah, it's a shadow. It's a shadow. But as always, like, there's just not a lot happening in the summer, really. It isn't again until we hit, I'd say, like August, the mid-August, about the 19th, we have our first Jupiter Saturn square. And, you know, Jupiter and Saturn conjoined at that 0 degrees Aquarius, December 21st, the winter solstice of 2020. Remember, there was that, you know, beautiful star, you know, and it was very much, you know, that was the great conjunction, which is a Jupiter Saturn conjunction that happens every 20 years, was ushering in something called the Great Mutation, which is that Jupiter and Saturn will be conjoining for the next 200 years in air signs. So there's like very much this feeling of like us moving out of earth and into air as an element that everyone's working with. Kind of highlighting what you were mentioning about like progress being one of the cards that you're getting, and communication and community.
Community is a big one.
Yeah, so we have that happening in August, and Jupiter and Saturn is like, are they're hitting their fullness, their first square since their conjunction in 2020. So something, I feel like something's happening. It certainly could, for us, have something to do with like politics and the political election coming up.
It's an election year. Yeah,
It's
expect
election
it to
year, but like
be.
something happens. I keep getting progress, you're getting progress, I'm feeling progress. I don't see the outer planet transits as they're not doing all of the squares and oppositions that they have been doing for the last, you know, 50 years. We're not having Saturn Pluto conjunctions. We're not, you know, we're moving into this feeling of like more, okay, we're still this year having to sort of fight for our rights, and I don't think we'll ever stop doing that. I mean, that's certainly about, that's Pluto and Aquarius. If you think about, it's very Uranian too. If you think about like the discovery of Uranus in the late 18th century, in the 1780s, I think it's 1781 it was. And we're thinking about, that was the last time that we had Pluto in Aquarius, you know, and that was like the fall of regimes. That was, you know, the beginning of the United States. It was the beginning of, you know, the French Republic, and bad things happened. People died. We had wars. But through that, we had a rise of democracy for the first time ever,
Well,
really.
and Pluto's evolutionary, you know, it's like the with the what's the author, Jeffrey Green Wolfe? He
Jeffrey
talks about
Wolf
how
Green.
Jeffrey Wolfe Green. He talks about Pluto represents your soul's like evolution, you know? So having, I feel like we'll be evolving through
It's
something.
about a death and rebirth process too. It's about boundaries. It's about the, you know, evolving through that, kind of almost like when you're faced with all your fears, you know, whatever that may be. Maybe the fear is like, I don't want to have to fight for my rights, but guess what? You need to. It vitalizes your life, and you see your own strength, and you know that you actually can co-create your life. I think the astrology of this year is really telling us, like, I think it's going to tell us that, you know, if we get out and we vote for what it is that we want, we protest and we do the things that we know peacefully, you know, are actively going to allow us to participate in co-creating our future, we will win. I
We
think we're
have to
seeing
lean into that community. Like, I think we'll be forced to
it.
work together as a community. You know, like we're going to have to all work together to really get anything done.
So in August, we'll have another Mercury retrograde too, which is August 5th through the 28th, and it's in Virgo. 4 degrees, it'll retrograde to Leo 21. So there's, you know, we gotta, it's kind of like summers are like energetically sleepy, but I agree that I feel like that summer solstice as like a point, there may be some agitation around that. And then we move into an active period, September, October, November, you know, where it's like, well, I guess September is still part of summer, right? But September 17th is our first eclipse, you know, post the spring, which is 25 degrees Pisces. And of course, then we have Saturn in Pisces. It's not conjoined, but Saturn's in, earlier degrees, but there's that theme, of like, what are we willing to do? Like, how are we going to let go of our own feelings of like martyrdom or victimhood, because within each archetype of the sign, there's like the shadow and the light.
Yeah.
Pisces light is compassion and true love for all, and that shadow is like victimhood, martyrdom.
I get boundaries again for that month.
Couldn't be better.
really, yeah, being discerning, being firm in your boundaries.
Right? That's like every time someone suffers from like too much Pisces, I'm like, lean into that, the Virgo, yeah. That opposition, right? Checklist,
the container,
boundaries, discrimination, right? October 2nd. So October, it's like all beginning again. October 2nd, solar eclipse, 10 degrees Leo, Libra.
Mm-hmm.
And that, isn't terribly afflicted, but I feel like it leads into, what's going to happen the first week of November, which is like so huge for us.
Yeah. And isn't that when Pluto ingresses back into Capricorn, that same, or is that in September, October?
That's September. Yeah. September, okay. October, but Pluto doesn't go direct until, so Pluto will move back by retrograde into Capricorn for the very last time. It's over, and that's another thing too, is that, so Pluto moves to Capricorn in, let's see, nine, I think it's the 1st of September. And it only hits 29 Capricorn. And it turns direct October 11th, I think. And then about 2 weeks after the first week of November, it moves back into, okay. Into Aquarius.
Do you feel like it's like the cleanup crew coming back just
when
it's time to kind of like grab?
Which is another reason why I feel that, like, so the very election day, of 2024 is like so much better than the last two election cycles. We don't have an eclipse. We don't have Mercury retrograde. And then like 2 weeks, a little under 2 weeks after the election, Pluto's in Aquarius again. It just seems so progress, community, forward, inclusive. I don't want to say that Aquarius is like so much better than Capricorn.
No, it's definitely different energy.
It's a different energy.
Yeah.
And yes, it's true, over the next 20 years, we're going to we're going to have to deal with, people trying to control people through, information,
AI.
Through AI, and there's going to be a lot of deep fakes. There's still going to be authoritarianism, but it just seems, based on the outer planet transits, we've got a lot of sextiles and trines between them, between Saturn and Neptune and Uranus. And
maybe aliens too, don't forget.
100%. They're already in the collective, but maybe at the end of January, something more is going to come up about aliens, about,
there's been so much disclosure technology. In 2023.
More. I feel like there's going to be more.
Okay.
And it may be that some form of AI or some form of technology allows us to actually get a signal back that is definitive in the next few years.
Yeah.
I do think that new forms, like maybe like social democracy as an economic form, is going to be embraced fully, perhaps in all the Americas, and certainly in the United States. I am crossing my fingers, because I'm already seeing in the collective, like, a lot of people, how just things rise up, and like people talking about like healthcare as a human right.
Yeah.
California, like Gavin Newsom, mentioning that he's going to provide healthcare for anyone,
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how that's going to work, but I think that healthcare as a human right is going to be something.
Yeah. And it's a huge issue across all parties. Like, most people want healthcare, and Medicare for all. Yeah. Medicare for all. And we're pretty much the only developed country that doesn't have it. There's no reason why we shouldn't, except for just greed and you know, the insurance companies make so much money and they have a lot of money in politics. So,
Yeah, 100%. But I do think that, I mean, I have to say that, like, I feel like certain things like, you know, gun control, you know, we're not saying like we're wiping out individuals owning firearms in this country, but like having some form of control over, you know, over our immense gun violence is going to be huge, a huge theme, as well as healthcare and, you know, and having a living wage, you know, for Americans.
On a weird side note, speaking of that election season, did you see that clip from Fox News where they had like a psychic tarot reader come on?
No.
And she, oh my gosh, please go watch it. It was like viral yesterday. So Fox News of all places had a psychic on, like a really famous one from the UK. And they asked her to pull a card about Trump. You know, like the upcoming election, and she pulled the Five of Cups and started like giggling on air about it. And then I can't remember what she pulled for Biden. I think it was a Nine of Pentacles. I could be wrong. I think it is the Knight of Pentacles, but I'm just like, I never thought I'd see the day that Fox News was going to have like a psychic tarot reader on there predicting the election.
It's really, I mean, when I was looking at it, I'm going to do another podcast, like on, I'm going to drill down into, some of these things, you know, including election day. 'Cause it's so, I feel it's so hopeful. Like there's the themes are astrologically everything that, you know, you had pulled, you know, from your cards. They're about progress and community and justice and healing.
Do you think that we're going to get different candidates though before then? Because
I do. I mean,
ones don't feel very hopeful.
No, they don't. Like, I really don't see 4 years of Biden.
I don't think he'll live that long.
That's exactly right. That's what I think too. I don't think he will. I had said that earlier that I didn't think that he would. I feel like he may have a stroke or something like that, you know, that he won't have the health. And I don't wish him ill will at
No.
all. I think he's actually a really good person in many
just,
ways for a political person.
It's time to let a young, fresh person step in.
Yes. No, we're tired. I think that also is that move of Pluto to Aquarius. Like Capricorn is very much associated with the old man, you know?
Yeah. It's antiquated. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just over. But on election day, we have, it's interesting because we have like a moon in Sagittarius. The sun, of course, is in Scorpio. You know, we got a moon in Sag. Mercury's in Sag and Venus is in Sag. And, you know, Trump does have a moon in Sagittarius. And Jupiter's in Gemini, you know, and he's a Gemini. So it's funny because it's like that is like, you know, astrologically, you know, he's got some good aspects, but I 100%. And Mars actually moves to Leo. He's got a Leo rising with Mars on his ascendant, but he's not going to win. Like, I don't see long-term that he will at all. Even though he does have some like very, I guess, simply traditional good prospects. I don't see him doing it. He's just such a horrible person. Like he embodies like the shadow of everything, every archetype that he carries. He's the shadow version of.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Which just goes to show that, remember, like we embody these archetypes, like we embody our bodies and our own soul, and the choices that we make in our consciousness can choose to work with a variety of these things, you know,
right?
And be a very high level, high vibration, you know, warrior of peace as a Libra, you know, you can be like a John Lennon, you know, or you can be like a superficial looking in the mirror.
Or you can be Putin. Putin's a Libra. Did you
know
that? That blew my mind. Unless he
Putin
lied about his birthday.
Really, truly, I think in many ways, like believes that he's on a righteous path. He believes that he's on a righteous path. He is just
yeah,
deluded.
And he needs to be liked. And once I saw that like shirtless photo of him on a, was he like riding a bear or a horse or something?
Like, horse. Yeah, he was horseback riding.
Why
yeah.
do I think it was a bear? I think someone maybe photoshopped him on a bear. But I was like, okay, I see the Libra now.
Yeah. And also he always has a love, you know, he always has a lover, you know.
God,
And yeah, I mean,
come
well,
from.
he's a twisted person, but it just goes to show. I mean, I always say that I think that, you know, Adolf Hitler and Charlie Chaplin like had very similar astrological, you
Right.
know, charts and aspects. And so you don't like,
It manifests in different
one thing
ways.
we knew about both of them is that they were extremely charismatic. You
Right,
know what I
right.
mean? They were using power, how we were going
And
to use it. So
yeah.
anyway, yeah, Trump does, you know, Trump is just such a piece of shit person, you know, just, he just really is. And
Just the shittiest of the
there's like
shittiest.
literally nothing I think that anyone can say that I think that what redeems his character, you know?
Yeah.
So woohoo. I think we're going to end the year with Pluto moved back into Aquarius. So this is the year that this is happening. You know, Neptune's going to be at the 29th, last at the end of Pisces. And we're moving into, in 2025, we'll begin to see it, Saturn, you know, a Saturn Neptune conjunction. So there's like all these like new cycles being born.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting too. Like, and that's going to be at that 0 degrees Aries. It's like a brave new world energy.
Yeah.
I'm really going to
Yeah.
see it this year.
Saturn and the Saturn Neptune thing just feels even more like the veil being lifted, right? Like the getting sober. That's what the, like
I
that's what
love that. What a good image for that. Yeah.
Saturn and, you know, the Saturn in Pisces, but then also, you know, coming in contact with Neptune, to me, it's just like, yeah, that
Or being
sobering feeling.
born. Yeah, there's something new for sure being born, getting sober. I mean, in a way, like getting sober, I guess literally is kind of like a rebirth, you know. If you've been suffering from delusion, you're going to be reborn. I mean, certainly so many people, especially, I mean, around the world have been suffering from a lot of delusions. And you know, I mean, there's been like conspiracy theories and deep fakes and but we're going to start to move out of that and be able to make some discerning sort of qualifications on like what is real in the next, you know, several years. So
Yeah.
that's good. Well, I mean, I'm really excited and I feel galvanized. Like I'm ready. Like I'm just whatever it's going to take, I'm here
Yeah.
for it.
Well, yeah, and it's a strength year. So whatever comes our way, whatever gets thrown at us, that we have what it takes to
Yes,
persevere.
you do have what it takes. Mars rules the North Node. You know, it's very much about like strength is our ability, you know, to get what we want, you know, our ability, Mars, our ability to assert ourselves, like definitely assert yourself in the, in a way that contains peace and harmony
Exactly.
so that you can rebirth, you know, yourself and use this energy. And man, I'm super interested in hearing like what kind of like epiphanies, and
Yeah.
I'm really
Same.
excited about it. I'm working a lot with Jupiter energetically. For me, I really need that energy. I'm cultivating it. I'm blue sky gazing.
I love that.
I'm like writing down my aims. I'm really trying to focus. So
I
hoping I
love
can
it.
get some stuff done and we can make progress.
Yeah. This
Yay! Thank you
was
so much,
great.
Brooke. Any final thoughts or
Thank you for having me. No, I think we hit everything I wanted to talk about. I just think that, you know, we're all becoming more aware of just how intrinsically like bound we are to one another's fate. And I think that once we realize that and we work together as a collective and as a community, right? The one of the
yeah.
big words, like we are unstoppable, right? Like
Yeah.
we are the many.
We are.
And I think once we realize that power, and I'm hoping that this is the year we realize that power, because Aquarius is that humanitarian collective community sign that, yeah, we can create a world that's better for everybody and doesn't leave anyone behind.
Yes, and you can do that. Everybody listening, you can do this. Look to where, you know, you have Taurus in your astrology. Look to where you have Aries and Libra too. There's a lot of new beginnings. We all have them somewhere in our astrology. And so, Brooke, something happened recently that I think is like super, you know, in keeping with all of this, especially like, you know, moving into the element of air and progress and the future, is that you are moving your community over to Patreon.
Isn't that funny? I know. I didn't even put that together until today. So yeah, I started a Patreon. I took a little poll on Instagram, like over the last like month, just to kind of see who's interested. I think we can all agree that Instagram or just social media in general has changed a lot.
That's
You know,
horrible.
It's the algorithm sucks. It's like hard to see people's stuff you want to see. And then it's like paid ads and it's a little bit convoluted, you know? So I wanted to see who was interested in kind of maybe taking it somewhere a little bit more intimate, more private, where, you know, you have more community and it's not a bunch of strangers or bots. So yeah, I set up a Patreon and mainly this was created for my moon ceremony people, because for those of you that don't know, I hold virtual new and full moon ceremonies twice a month. And so this is a way for everyone that does the moon ceremonies to just have a home or a container where it all lives and we can share what comes up for us each lunation and continue the conversation from the ceremony somewhere else. And all the ceremonies will live there. So you don't have to go to a bunch of different apps to sign up. And then I also created a smaller tier that just people that want to connect once a month for $5 a month, where I'll be doing a video when the sun changes signs every month. So just kind of like a little monthly energy report, you know, of what I intuitively feel is coming up that month and kind of how to work with it and navigate it, any important dates, things like that. So I'm
well,
excited.
that sounds like a great deal, because for only $33, you're going to get all her moon ceremonies for free, plus
the
the
sun.
And
The
then
sun
for only
session.
$5 a month, you'll get like a little video on that, on the sun. And you don't have to sign up for it or deal with that. It's just already there. And so it's definitely a good deal. I love that for you, Brooke. I think
Thank
it's
you.
super. Yeah, you're like fully embracing that Aquarian, you know, technology. All right, let's just put it all on this spot, in this spot. I love it.
Yeah. Well, it gets so overwhelming when you have to work with so many different apps and accounts and things just to get something done. I was like, let's just put it all in one place,
yeah,
right?
it's
Work
perfect.
smarter, not harder.
That's right. Work smarter, not harder in 2024. Okay, this is going to be a revolutionary new year. There's a lot of really exciting things. We're definitely focused on progress and community. And I'm excited to see what happens from this. So
me too.
BrookeAlbrigoHealing.com is Brooke's website. You can also find her at Brooke Albrigo Healing on
It's just Brooke
Instagram.
Albrigo.
Just Brooke Albrigo, sorry.
It's okay.
And definitely sign up for her Patreon, because she's amazing.
Thank you.
Love you.
Love you too.
Brooke does healing. She does energy readings. You name it. Check her out. And probably everybody that is going to listen to this knows who you are. So
yeah, we have the same, totally same clients.
Yeah, exactly. But if you don't, check her out. It's my Reiki master. And my go-to healer. So,
it's Michelle, love you.
Girl, love you. Happy, happy new year.
Happy new year.
We're all in this together.
Yes.
Okay. Big hugs. Thank you so much for being here and for sharing all of your wisdom and thoughts for us for 2024. Definitely want to hear from you guys. Anybody that has any questions about anything that, you know, Brooke has brought up or myself, please feel free to, you know, send us, you know, questions. You can email me at michelle.prentice@gmail.com or send me a DM on Instagram. Brooke, how do you like to be connected with?
Yeah, Instagram's fine. Email's best. You'll get a quicker response email, which you can just email me at brookealbrigohealing@gmail.com. You can DM me. It just might take me a little bit longer.
Copy that. Well, thank you for listening. I know I haven't got my act together to podcast, but it feels really good. And I definitely want to be here and be present and be part of the community and the progress for 2024. So I'll be doing more along the lines of that. Thank you for listening. I'm sending you all the blessings. Thank you, Brooke. So let's do it. Let's do 2024. Make it matter. Bye.